Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Everywhere I go, even as I've been overseas a lot the last few weeks, people tell me how they're downloading these Tuesday morning sessions every week. They're having a wider and wider impact, not just in this nation, but around the nations, certainly of Europe and beyond. So we praise God for that. Let's turn to the letter of James. We're not talking about trains this week. We're going to talk about faith. Not going to talk about it, we're going to do it. That's the whole point, isn't it? James gives us a good perspective on faith in chapter 2, verse 14. My brothers, of what value is the faith a man claims to have if that faith is not reflected in his actions? Does he really possess the faith that can save him? For example, suppose a brother or sister needs clothing and food. If any one of you was to say, God bless you, keep warm and well fed, but did nothing to relieve his physical needs, what good would your faith be? So you can see that unless faith gives birth to action, it is dead. Someone may say, you have faith, I do practical things. Well, show your faith without positive actions, and I will show you that my faith is genuine because of what I do. You believe there is only one true God. Good. But even demons believe that, and they tremble with fear before him. How foolish you are if you need any further evidence to see that faith that does not lead to positive actions is useless. Surely our forefather Abraham was considered acceptable to God because of what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar of sacrifice. You can tell from his example that his faith led to positive action. Faith and action were working together. His faith was only complete because of what he did. This is how he fulfilled the scripture that says, Abraham believed God and so was considered to be righteous. And God called him his friend because of his obedience. You see, a person can only please God and be right in his eyes through what he does as well as through what he believes. Now, Paul is not having a theological disagreement, or James is not having a theological disagreement with Paul. They both preach the same gospel. Paul was speaking into Jewish situations and wanting people to understand that their works could never save them, that they're saved totally, completely, solely through what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. Amen. James is talking to a Jewish readership. He addresses this letter to all the Jewish believers that are dispersed among the nations. Right. So, although they know that their words are going to be read by Gentiles as well as Jews, they both are expressing addressing Jews who were brought up under the law. So, on the one hand, they had to make clear, your actions cannot save you. You are saved by the grace of God alone. However, if you are saved, that will lead to action. And you see, there are a lot of people today who are still deceived by thinking that they are saved even if there are no actions. And what James has said, the genuine faith that saves will always lead to action.
Amen.
In other words, in the lives of those who are genuinely saved, there will be the actions of faith, not just the claims of faith. So he says, you know, there are always those people that say, yeah, well, you know, faith is my strong thing. I just love. I just do things. And, you know, James is saying, look, these kinds of distinctions are totally, completely false. The person of faith will love in the way that he expresses that faith. And that what God wants is to see the outworking of our faith in action. Now, if you turn back just one letter to Hebrews, in Hebrews 11, we're not going to look at that. But in Hebrews 11, there is this great sort of catalogue of the heroes of faith. But as you read through that at a later time, you will see that what God is commending them for is what they did. That their actions express the fact that they had genuine faith. And so God commends them for their actions. And then having given this wonderful panorama of Old Testament saints, at the beginning of chapter 12, the writer to Hebrews says, all these heroes of faith are like a great crowd of witnesses that surround us and encourage us to keep faith with God. So let us shrug off everything that comes against us and refuse every temptation to sin with which the devil wants to entangle us. Let us persevere in running the race in which God has entered us with our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is always ahead of us. Without him, we could not have faith, nor could we grow in faith. He gave us faith and will perfect our faith. Is what it means to say he's the author and perfecter of our faith. See, instead of just using the familiar phrases, I've tried to draw out, well, what does it mean? So he gave us faith and he will perfect our faith. Nobody could have the faith that saves, or to use New Testament language, the faith that justifies, that makes us righteous and acceptable to God, unless God had given him that faith. You could say that all the people around us in the world that don't believe have not been given that gift. And so even though there was a point in time when you made a decision to turn to Jesus, to repent of your sins, to submit yourself to him and to believe in him, it was really the Lord himself that was authoring or working that faith in you. So even your faith is the work of his grace. It's something that he has given you. Now then, I have a very simple question to answer this morning. If Jesus authored the faith in you that enabled all your sins to be forgiven, to enable you to have a new life, to enable Christ himself to come and live in you, is he not able to author the faith in you for everything else? Because everything else is less than that. So if he could author the faith in you for the greatest thing that can possibly happen in a person's life, is he not able to author the faith in you for whatever situation you're confronted with? That it doesn't matter what the circumstances, what the challenges, or what the opposition, he is able to author the faith in you. Now, that faith that he authors in you is genuine. Jesus never authors or begins anything in us that is false. So if he authors in us genuine faith, it will work. The problem for many people is that they don't allow the Lord to author the faith in them. For example, a lot of people will pray for healing. They will know that it's possible for God to heal them, but they're not necessarily in a place of faith to receive their healing. Why not? Because they haven't let Jesus author that faith in them. They just pray and hope for the best rather than acknowledge, well, wait a minute, I need faith to know the outcome of my prayer. And therefore, to ask God to author that faith, to sow that faith, to give them that faith, to put that faith within them. Now, how does he do that? Well, the scripture is very clear that he does it through his word, through the Holy Spirit taking the word, declaring it to us, so that word becomes revelation. It becomes life for us. Now, that's how the word is authored in us, the faith is authored in us, through the word. It can be encouraged in other ways. But the encouragement of faith is not the same as what God authors in faith. For example, you can hear a testimony of how other people are healed, and that will encourage your faith, but it won't actually put faith in you. The faith comes from hearing what God is saying, not hearing what a witness is saying. What the witnesses say will encourage faith. Hello? Because our faith is not in witnesses, our faith is in Jesus. Our faith is not in testimonies, although testimonies are a great encouragement to faith. Our faith is in what Jesus Christ has said and done. So, you are only sitting here because the author of your faith did something. You see, Jesus is the author of our faith because he worked. So you see, what we read in Hebrews is, by faith, we believe that God created, brought all creation into being. And Paul, when he's writing to the Corinthians in the second letter, talks about that spirit of faith, that God spoke and creation came into being. Because he believed as the creator, he had to create. I know it's nearly the end of term, but this is good news, right? He couldn't just say, I believe in creation.
That's right.
Because he believed that he or knew he was the creator, he had to do it. He had to create. Jesus did not come saying, oh, I've got such faith in my Father. Nothing is impossible for me. I could heal the sick, I could cast out demons, I could walk on water, I could feed a multitude. You see, he never said anything like that. He just did it. Why? Because his faith was expressed in action. He didn't say, I believe, I really believe. He just did it. Because real faith is active.
Amen.
Amen. In fact, faith needs to become such a way of life for us that we do it automatically. Like, for example, when I told you to sit down, you sat down. You didn't stop and think to yourself, now, will this chair take my weight? Is it going to be safe for me to sit down? Or will the chair collapse and I'll just end up in the heap and look an idiot? You have faith that the chair will support you without even thinking about it. So you act in faith in all kinds of ways. That's just natural faith. But now you see, God's word is more certain than that chair. Because God's word will outlast that chair. This chair will not last for thousands of years. It is not an eternal chair. But heaven and earth will pass away, but God's words will not pass away. They're more certain, they're more reliable, they're more durable than the chair you sit on. So God's word will never fail us. If we trust in that word will be fulfilled in our lives. Are we breathing?
Yes.
So, we should expect, therefore, every day to see the outworking of our faith in positive action. Right. Now, what action? Well, again, if we read Hebrews and if we read the whole of James, we come up with that lovely word, which is
obedience.
Because the faith that God inspires within us is to enable our obedience. He has designed for us to be saved by faith, to walk by faith, to overcome by faith, to do everything by faith, because without faith it is impossible to please Him. So, because faith inspires obedience, faith says, I can. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Why? Because God has given, has authored, has begun, and will perfect the faith in me that enables me to obey whatever He puts in front of me to do. So it would make no sense for God to put something before me and for me to say, I can't. Because that would be to deny and to actually disobey the one who has given me faith. It is to say, well, He's given me faith for salvation, but I don't believe He can offer faith for me in me for this particular situation. So it's good, isn't it, that as you are going to go out in placements in a couple of weeks, you're going to do all kinds of things that you can't do. And you're going to see God use you in all kinds of ways that He couldn't use you without faith. So if, as will happen with some of you, not all of you, but if you were asked to preach, you will of course preach. Whether you've ever preached on a Sunday before to a whole church before or not, you will preach. Why? Because God would not have given you the opportunity unless He intended you to take it.
That's it. Very good.
So to say I can't is no defense.
That's true.
To say I've never done it before is totally irrelevant because you're just about to do it.
That's it. That's it.
There has to be a first time for everything. So we look forward to the challenges of faith.
Amen. Oh, yeah.
But it's not just faith to do particular things like that. Faith is to be operating all the time in our lives.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you get used to walking by faith in small ways, then what you will find is that you will have the favor of God in all those situations. I mean, you know, traveling, international travel, air travel at this time is a pain compared to what it used to be because of all the security and this and that and the others. But it's amazing how God will give you favor. Even in little things like that. So you don't have to sort of half undress to get through the thing, you know, that you can just go sailing through. Because God's giving you favor. Now, of course, if you don't sort of trust God in little ways like that, then you won't see his favor in little ways like that. It's just learning that what God wants is to teach us how to live constantly in his favor, how to live constantly in his grace, how every day of our lives wants to be in charge, and he wants to pour that grace into our lives. Now, that means he's going to do things. Grace is God actually doing things for us, in us, and through us. It's all his grace. Amen? Now, what James also says in this letter, he goes on to talk about the use of the tongue, doesn't he? And how the tongue is like the rudder of a ship, it directs the course of the ship. And we see, therefore, that we can get ourselves in a mess through the wrong things we say. But then Jesus says, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the real problem is in the heart, not just the tongue. The tongue says all kinds of negative things that actually will never produce faith, will never produce the works of faith, will never result in grace, because there are still those negatives in our hearts. So what God intends to do is to purify, cleanse the heart, get rid of all the negatives. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And you know in Hebrew thought that the mind and the heart belong together. So you will think faith if you have heart faith. It's difficult, you see, to suddenly find yourself in a difficult position and get faith. What God wants is for you to be walking by faith so that when the difficult situation arises, it isn't difficult. Because your reaction to it immediately is one of faith. You see, nothing is too great for the Lord, is it? By definition, Jesus cannot have a problem. So, I mean, if you are living in him and he is living in you, you cannot have a problem that will not be resolved. If a problem arises, it's not going to remain a problem. Why? Because of the faith that overcomes the problem. And that faith is really Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, the faith that leads to action comes out of a victorious mentality.
Yes.
Amen.
We expect to overcome no matter what happens.
Come on.
We expect victory. We expect release. We expect favor. We expect healing. We expect results. You won't have anything left to say after this, will you? It's having that faith mentality.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so you think of yourself as a person of faith. I'm a person of faith. Hallelujah. I belong to a faith church, a kingdom faith church. I go to a faith college, a kingdom faith college. It's all faith, 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 faith. It's faith working through love. Now, what we cannot do is wish our faith onto others.
That's it. Absolutely.
If we could wish our faith onto others, I could wish my faith onto you, and things would be simple, wouldn't it? Or anywhere else, you know, somebody who's got a need, somebody who's sick, you want to wish your faith onto them. But no, God has to author the faith in them, just as he has to author the faith in us. And there aren't any shortcuts. All those relatives, friends of yours who are not yet believers, you'd like to wish faith on them. But no, Jesus will author the faith in them. And your faith is so sure and certain that he will author the faith in them. It's just a question of when and why and how. He will accomplish it. Mm-hmm. But he will do it. So, what the scripture teaches us is the perseverance of faith.
Yeah, right.
That genuine faith perseveres.
Right.
And this is where the testing of our faith proves it's genuine. The so-called faith that does not persevere is not real faith. And that's why God has allowed you to have that test to show that you didn't have the faith. If you go back to James chapter 1, he says in verse 2, "My dear brothers and sisters, react with real joy when you have to face many kinds of opposition and difficulty." React with real joy. Hallelujah. Praise God. Here's some opposition. Hallelujah. Oh, here's some problems. Whoa, more overcoming. More victory for Jesus. Hallelujah. Whoa, more grace abounding. Praise God. Which is much more positive than, "Pastor, can I have a word?" Let me read this again. "My dear brothers and sisters, react with real joy when you have to face many kinds of opposition and difficulty, for you know that we only learn to persevere when faith is tested." This perseverance is essential if we are to become mature, being the people God wants us to be, lacking nothing.
Amen.
Come on. That's true.
You see, when do we lack nothing? When we have the faith that perseveres. How do we grow into maturity as Christians? By having the faith that perseveres.
Right.
How do we walk in obedience to the Lord? Because we have the faith that perseveres. Amen? So you should ask God to supply the wisdom you need, for he gives generously and unreservedly to all who ask.
Amen. That's true.
I like that.
I do.
That was anointed.
That was.
Generously and unreservedly.
Oh, yes.
Praise God. However, you must believe when you ask and not doubt his willingness to give. For anyone who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Such a person is double-minded and unreliable in everything he does and should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. You don't need to preach it, do you? You've only got to read it. Then it says in verse 12, the man who perseveres in his faith when tested is blessed.
Amen.
Having passed the test, he will be rewarded with the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. I think I'm going to give up preaching and just read this aloud. It's a sermon in itself, isn't it? So you see, all we have to do is fix our eyes on Jesus, because he is the one who has given and perfects our faith. Now that means that in every situation, he wants us to have the faith that will prevail, that will overcome. In every situation, he wants that perseverance of faith for us never to waver, like that sea that gets tossed around. Praise God. Things constantly change. Situations constantly change. But it's good to know that we have one dependable, reliable thing that never changes, that we can always trust in, and that is what God says.
Amen.
Simply because it's God who has said it.
That's it.
People may fail you, but God never will. So we can rejoice. Praise God. Now, we live at a time when we see so much corruption being exposed. Now, we should be thankful, not for the corruption, but it's being exposed. Because we've been praying here in Kingdom Faith that everything that is not of God will become exposed, because we want righteous government. So we shouldn't be surprised when it starts to happen. We should say, well, thank you, Lord, that all the gunge is now coming to the surface so it can be cleaned out. But, of course, God does that same process in every one of us. He exposes what is in our hearts that is not of faith. He puts the challenge before you that instead of meeting immediately with faith, there's a whoops. What's going on here? And you know, the Lord really says, what's the matter? Why have you stopped? Why aren't you moving forward? Remember what he taught us about the mighty warrior? That he goes before us, gives us the victory, but he only does that as we ourselves move forward. As you move forward, he goes ahead and opens up the way. But he won't move until you move. So you move forward to meet the challenge. You move forward in whatever the situation is, whatever the need is, and God then goes before you. So how do you do that? Well, sometimes you do that by speaking to the mountain, but you haven't moved forward and done that and do speak. Why? Because the faith has to be expressed in action. That action is either something you do or something you say, but it's always action. And when you move forward in that action, then God moves the mountain, you don't. But he does it because you've moved forward with faith. And that's why Jesus says, when you speak to it, you must believe in your heart that it will be moved.
Amen.
So what is really God wanting to communicate to us through all this? Because, you know, most of us know this stuff. I'm only repeating things that you know, just putting a few things together. Well, it's quite simple, really. Because God's message to us this morning is get on with it.
I like that. That's good. Come on. That's good.
Don't sit about waiting for something to happen. Just get on with it. You've got the faith. Get on with it.
Yes, yes.
Whatever it is, you get on with it.
It's good.
Because you see, the thing that undoes many people is that faith is not a feeling. And so they sit around waiting until they feel faith. And then wonder why they've got stuck to the chair.
Right.
Because, you see, there is absolutely no emotion, nil, zero emotion
right.
in faith.
Right.
Absolutely
right.
zero emotion.
Right.
In fact, if you have emotion, one thing I guarantee is it's not faith.
Right. That's good.
It's just an emotion.
But
in faith, there is zero emotion. If somebody says, oh, I really feel, I think, oh, I feel sorry for you. Then. Because faith... because faith doesn't feel.
Absolutely. Right. That's it.
But how many Christians depend upon their feelings?
Right.
You know, that's one of the deceptions. I feel in my spirit. Well, that's a pity. Because there isn't any feeling in your spirit. There's Christ in your spirit. And God wants faith in your spirit. I know what people are meaning, and half the time they're confused. But you see, if... Well, some people got it, didn't they? if faith is operating in our lives, we feel absolutely nothing.
That's nothing.
Right.
That's right. Yeah.
And God intends it that way.
Absolutely.
This is the thing that you've got to get used to. If you want God to use you to do great miracles, don't expect to feel anything. Don't wait until you have a feeling before you pray, or wait until you have a feeling before you command some mighty thing to take place.
Yeah.
Just get on with it.
Come on.
Because if you take that action and get on with it, he goes before you and does it. Because that's what faith is all about. You're not depending on an emotion. You're not depending on a feeling. You're depending upon God and what he has said, and therefore what he has done. This is the nature of faith. Hallelujah. It's almost sort of coldly clinical.
Yes.
You understand what I mean? You know, a doctor wouldn't be any good if he thought, well, I can only treat this patient if I feel like it. What a crazy, why don't you just get on and do what you know?
Right.
Well, why should it be any different with a life of faith?
Yeah.
Just get on and do what you know.
That's it. That's very good.
You know the word. You have the spirit within you to declare the word to you. Well, get on and do it then. This is what James is saying. If I've got genuine faith, I will get on and do it. It will always result in action. You see, James didn't have any time for these freaks that have all this talk about faith but never do anything. Mm-hmm. All these people that have read 45 books on faith but still don't do it. Reading a book on faith is not going to give you faith. It will encourage your faith, but it won't give you faith. Because Jesus is the author of faith. Okay, now if Jesus is in you, has he authored faith? Well, you see, what James is saying, of course he has, otherwise you wouldn't have been saved. And if he's authored in you the faith that saves, he's authored in you the faith that will do anything that's less than that. And everything else is less than that. So you have the faith to do everything else that is less than that. And that faith is within you is because Christ is in you and because the spirit of faith is in you. And with that same spirit of faith, we therefore believe and therefore speak. We get on with it. Hallelujah. It's great. Because then you see results. And this is what it's all about. You know, when I went to theological college, I was taught many things that aren't true. Because I didn't go to Kingdom Faith College, you see. But one of the things that I was taught is you don't have to be successful, only faithful. That is the biggest load of baloney that anyone can ever be told by anyone. Because if you're faithful, you are successful. You see, that's typical of religion. You just faithfully do your religious duties. Yeah, yeah. And it doesn't matter if nothing happens. Wow. God will look upon you and think you're so faithful. Mm. I mean, he can't, but if he could, God would be tearing his hair out. saying, what crazy thing are you saying now? I'm glad God can't tear his hair out. Because some Roman Catholic would put it in a bowl and everybody would worship the hair. We got the shrine of the holy hair now. Hey, I don't think I told you this. You wouldn't believe this. Now, which one was it? Can't remember now. But when we were in Italy the other day, other week, we were taken to this place. We were a lovely old historic place, you know. And there was just a small group of us, and we were all sort of wandering around. And there was this church. And it was called the Church of... St. Clement, was it? St. Clement, okay, St. Clement. So I thought I'll go in and have a butcher's just to see because I've lost where everybody else was at. So I went in here and I thought, there's a strange object in front of the altar. And I thought, that looks like a body. So I went and looked at it, and I saw the most disgusting sight I'd ever seen. There was St. Clement. I mean, you can see his face. Of course, it didn't have it, it was just bone, you know, his skeleton. And all his hand was raised in blessing, but of course, because there wasn't anything here, it was all wrapped up in bandages. And there was all that. And people were sort of kneeling in front of this and praying to a bag of bones. You've been there too, have you? Yeah. It looked horrible. I mean, I came out of there and said, thank God I don't pray in a morgue. Praying to a bag of bones when you've got the living God inside you. I mean, I'm sure St. Clement was a good guy, but several hundred years later, let me tell you, his bones are not a pleasant sight. And certainly not to be the object of our adoration. If you're listening to me and you feel offended, I'm sorry that you're offended, but you needed to be. Because if you believe that stuff and it offends you, then God help you.
Yeah, come on, that's good.
I say that in love. To so to a bag of bones, we are sons of the living God. We have Christ in us. We are living in Christ. We are filled with his power, filled with his life. Amen. We have the victory, and we're going to walk in victory. We're going to speak victory because we believe victory. We're going to speak life because we have life. And we're going to refuse every temptation of the devil, because James goes on to talk about that. We're going to refuse every temptation of the devil to be negative. Because his temptation is always for us to be negative. Just say what is negative. Amen. We don't want God being frustrated with us because we could accomplish so much through faith. And instead of that, we wait for our feelings and our fears take over rather than our faith. But there's just one more thing I need to say about this. You see, faith is only faith if it has expectation. That even though you have no feeling, you expect so-and-so to happen.
Amen.
Now, it might not happen how you want or even when you want, but the perseverance of faith is that which is the object of your faith will surely happen. And sometimes, you know, our desire to see God move in a particular way is not the right way. And that's why God allows those ideas of ours to be frustrated. And that's where his wisdom is so much greater than ours, because he will do it in his way. And when he does it in his way, it will have lasting effect.
Come on.
You know, we can have a sort of sticking plaster mentality towards what's going on in the lives of other people around us. Let's put a sticking plaster on this and get everything sort of nice and neat and tidy. And God says, no, I don't want a sticking plaster. I want to deal with the wound. I want to deal with the real cause. So praise God. I'm excited. Because you see, faith is exciting.
Amen. Oh, yeah.
Isn't it? I mean, you see, the wonderful thing about faith is this. You don't know what's going to happen, yet you do know what's going to happen. You know, you don't know how and everything, but you do know what. You do know God is going to do it. Hallelujah. Why? Because you see in your spirit, not a feeling, but you see in your spirit what has taken place before it takes place. So what it says in here is that he has the power to make, or faith has the power to make the invisible visible.
Come on. Absolutely.
Praise God. I think it's out of print at present, but many of you would have read Anything You Ask, which is a book I wrote on faith about 25 years ago. But one of the things that I repeatedly say throughout that book is that faith is hearing God, believing what he says, and acting upon it. And I make the point, it's not faith until you act upon it. That the believing what he says is not faith. Yeah. That's just believing that he said something. But faith is hearing God, believing what he said, and acting upon it. As soon as you act upon it, faith is activated in you. And as soon as faith is activating in you, the power of God is activated Amen. Around you. Amen? Let's all stand. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm happy. I'm excited. Anybody else excited here? Come on, let's lift our hands and praise God that he is the one who gave us faith. He is the one who enables us to persevere in faith. He is the one who perfects our faith. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Mighty God. Hallelujah. Pura la basata parasiturisatuba. Barata parazata par. Purata pariesiturisarandaria leto bakarasitoba. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Poparazata pakarasiturisatoba. Purata pariesiturisarato bakarasitoba. Now thank the Lord that there is no emotion in faith. Hallelujah. So if you're someone that's sort of depended upon emotion before you sort of really move, then just ask God to forgive you and say, Lord, thank you that I put all that stuff behind me now. I'm not looking for feelings that will encourage me to act. I'm going to get on with it because you are living in me and you have authored salvation faith in me, and therefore you author everything that is less than that in me, and I can do whatever you put in front of me to do. I can say whatever you give me to say. I can heal whoever you give me to heal. Lord, I thank you that nothing is impossible. Because you live in me and you work through me and rivers of life will pour out of me as I get on with the business of faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, we ask you to keep us from presumption, that we will always be sensitive to what you are saying, so we move ahead in your purposes and not our own purposes. That, Lord, we're not going to ask amiss because we want to spend it on our own flesh life, but we're asking, Lord, that that kingdom faith be expressed in our lives. That all the time your kingdom will advance, your kingdom purposes will be furthered. That people's lives will be impacted and healed and transformed and changed. Circumstances will be revolutionized because we have a faith expectation. I just believe God's saying that some of you have been waiting for God and God has been waiting for you. And somebody's got to move first. And it isn't going to be God. He's waiting for you to move, then he'll move. So why don't you tell God right now, Lord, I'm going to move ahead with you. And as I take a step of faith, you are going to go ahead of me. You are going to open up the way before me. You are going to be the mighty warrior that gives me the victory. You are going to enable me to overcome. And I thank you and I praise you and I bless you. I thank you, Lord, that you've made me a man, a woman of faith. I thank you, Lord, that I'm going to live by faith until I draw my last breath. That I'm going to be like those saints you speak of in Hebrews 11, who were living by faith till the time they died. Thank you, Lord. You have called me to a life of faith, and I will live by faith till my last breath here on earth. And I give you glory. I give you honor. I give you praise. Bless your wonderful name. Purata parazata pakara sitopa. Purata pariesito di sato pakara sitopa. Now, we're just going to put, before we praise God, we're just going to put this into practice, you see, because, you know, all this person could do was to look at the physical symptoms. And that's what tends to happen, you know, our faith is in the physical symptoms. That's very easy. I can appreciate how easy it is to put your faith in what you feel. Because emotion is a feeling, but pain is a feeling. Discomfort is a feeling. Symptoms are feelings. You feel them. So, our faith is not in symptoms. In fact, if we're going to walk by faith, we ignore symptoms. A few weeks ago, God healed me of something, and it was only the other day that I realized I'd been healed of it. Because what I'd been doing was ignoring the symptoms, and I suddenly realized, wait a minute, there aren't any anymore. So, praise God. Are we there? Are we understanding this? You know, because if you regard the symptoms and you say, oh, it hasn't happened, or he hasn't done it, or there must be something else in my life that God wants to... No, no, no. It's not, your faith is not in symptoms. Your faith is in the Lord, in his word, in his promise. So can you just lift your hands to the Lord and just say, thank you that you've healed me. Now when your word says, by your stripes I'm healed, actually the word means that by your stripes I am already healed. I thank you, Lord, that you've healed me. I thank you, therefore, that symptoms will have to disappear. Everything that is not your will in my life, in my body, will have to go. I thank you, Lord, for complete freedom, complete victory in every area of my life, in every area of my body. And I praise you, Lord. My focus is on you. I fix my eyes on you. I don't take my eyes off you and onto symptoms. I don't take my eyes off you and onto feelings. I don't take my eyes off you and onto circumstances. But I fix my eyes on you. I fix my eyes on you. I ignore everything else and I fix my eyes on you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are my victory. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.